soundboard. Taking a little while for our equipment to warm up this morning, so hang in there with us, audience. We're going to be coming in just a second.
I'm serving time. I have a shop on the street in town where hungry folks walk up and down. Some have no homes, some sick from want. So I went, got some food from a restaurant. I took it to a central spot to feed the weary something hot. The police came, took me away. Now for my awful deed I've gotta pay. With 30 days in county jail, hold my calls, hold my mail, serving soup. That was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. They said I needed a permit to serve free food. It must be fit. So here I am, awaiting trial, while the hungry have to eat from the garbage pile. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail, serving soup. That was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. I face the judge and I made my plea. He looked away when he sentenced me. He said we won't put you in that hole if you promise not to feed another living soul. I told that judge I could not say that crazy law I would obey. Nor pay no fine or post no bail. Now I'm feeding folks inside the county jail. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail, serving soup. That was my crime. Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. Now Ollie North, he lied under oath, lied to the judge and the Congress both. He was running drugs for the Contra War, but they locked me up because I fed the poor. Our leader George, you know he might be right when he sees 1,000 points of light with a kinder, gentler hearts like mine. But now there's just 999. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my calls, hold my mail, serving soup. soon I'm serving time. 30 days in the county jail. Hold my cause, hold my name. Serving soon, that was my crime, that was my crime. Now instead of serving soon, I'm serving time. Now instead of serving soon, I'm serving time. Now instead of serving soon, I'm serving time. Well, serving time.
And that's singer Mark Levy, 999 Points of Light from George Bush's famous Leave It to Private Charities, Leave Your Compassion to Private Charities, 1,000 Points of Light. It's a song by singer Mark Levy on his album from the early 90s, Shiro's Heroes. Mark is a local folk singer here in the Santa Cruz area. He's up actually in, it's a bit beyond Felton, but you can actually get in touch with his company that puts out this kind of great political satire. He's done 3 or 4 of these tapes. We're going to be playing a few more of his songs. The song about the woman who was jailed for serving soup is actually about a local person, local merchant, Sandra Loringer, who was an antique dealer downtown before the earthquake. And she joined other activists at the town clock providing hot soup to homeless people at a time when there was no free meal program in town of that sort. And she was arrested for it along with dozens of others, eventually went to trial in the summer of 1989 and was convicted by a jury under pressure from Judge Robert Attuck, or the, you should say, the hard gavel of Robert Attuck. And there was also another person convicted of the similarly, his name was Brian Staley Flanagan. And I, of course, was convicted in San Francisco by a jury of serving free food. But it's all had a pretty good outcome. In Santa Cruz, Food Not Bombs now serves regularly on Thursdays and Wednesdays at the town clock, the same place where she was arrested. And that's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Actually, I think it's either 4 or 5. It depends on the season. I think it's 4, but I may be wrong about that. If you want to find out and volunteer to help Food Not Bombs, you can give them a call at 425-3345, and they can give you more accurate times. And I do know it's at 1 o'clock on weekends, Saturdays and Sundays. So today, if you're hungry or you want to volunteer or you just need some extra bagels, they got plenty of bagels. Come on down to the town clock, 1 o'clock. You're not going to get arrested, and you're not going to get harassed by police, thanks to the work of people who did get arrested and did get harassed. And the same thing is true in San Francisco. They stopped the arrests the day after I went to jail. There was one more arrest, and then I served 27 days in jail in San Francisco in 1996 for serving free food. And after that, they have not arrested people specifically for the crime of serving free food since. And that actually kind of leads me into my next guest I have here live in the studio, Tom Reveille. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how are you, Bob?
Glad you made it. We have a kind of an isolated little studio here, kind of hard to reach. Wasn't sure you were going to make it, but I'm glad you're here. Tom, you're an old timer in free radio. You had a station way back when in Venice, California, that got severely harassed. In fact, it got wiped out by FCC, right?
Right, straight busted, 1991. That's right.
And what was the name of that station?
Radio Free Venice.
And how long did that station have on the air before it was closed down?
About 7 months. From the 13th of April, from Jefferson's birthday, to sometime in November. The 13th of November. From the 11th of April, maybe. I think Jefferson's birthday was the 11th to the 13th of November.
And were you, was this pretty much, you were one of the many commentators on the station, or was it your station? How was it run? Was it a collective? What was the story?
Well, it started with my notion. I mean, it played out of my home at the time. There was a sort of a patio on the outside. And And it was basically, I was trying to goal, it was a constitutional radio station in the sense that when we went on the air, I wrote letters. I wrote a broadcaster's declaration of Ninth Amendment rights and also wrote letters to the FCC and to the judges.
The Ninth Amendment, for those who don't know, is of course the amendment that reserves all rights not specifically delegated to the federal government, to the people or to the state?
The Ninth Amendment is, that's a kind of a conflation of the Ninth and Tenth Amendments, what you just said. The Ninth Amendment says that all rights not specifically enumerated, that in other words, that the rights specifically enumerated were not in detriment of, or in deny, golly, why can't I remember the exact wording?
But the thing is that there
are other rights retained by the people.
Right, all rights are retained by the people, even those that don't happen to be itemized in the actual federal constitution.
Exactly, articulated and so on.
I'm sorry, I was interrupting. You were saying that you were a constitutional station.
That we were a constitutional station in the sense that we never made a secret of where we were, that we told them exactly we were going to start before we started broadcasting. We were going to broadcast. It was our right, and if they wanted to do something about it, you know, the thing. In fact, I expected them to do something about it, and I expected that we'd have a fair fight in court, and then we'd win, because constitutionally, not only constitutionally, but as I later learned, also in terms of the law, their law, the FCC law, we are completely constitutional to be intrastate and intrastate power station. And so I thought we'd win. And apparently they thought we'd win too, because the only way that they could find to fight me after seven months, I had absolutely nothing but my typewriter and my my long tongue to protect me. After that, they just busted me. They just walked in and took everything and basically dared me to do anything about it. Then brought charges against me.
Before we go into that, I want to hear more about that. What gave you the idea of starting the station? Had you been inspired by some previous efforts?
Well, it was basically the idea was that, you know, we've got this huge problem that we live in a quasi-fascist state, fast becoming, I think, the worst kind of fascism. And so what do you do? I mean, what activity isn't vitiated by the fact that we're under capitalism in a money, you know, in a money, can I say, a state that's ruled by the money power and which is not constitutional in any way. And what I decided was that this is the only war in which one side gets all of its intelligence from the other side, and that we could not possibly win while that was the case. And so that we had to have a medium whereby we could tell each other the truth on the air, and that medium had to be radio, because it was the only one. Do you know, because you're involved in this radio, but how little money it takes. For less than $1,000, you can go on the air with a station which it has a community, you know, for a small or medium-sized community, which is a community radio station. You can put a 10-watt transmitter on the air, as Cantaco and the Black Rose and Fresno and so on, and Bana Cantaco, who are among the forefathers of this movement.
Tell us a little bit about that. Who are the forebears of our movement? Who are the women and men who started this?
Well, probably the one that's gotten the most attention, and rightfully so, is the man Mbana Cantaco, is his name. I don't know whether he's not indigenous. He's in Adrian, Michigan. That's where he is. He's now legally blind. He was beaten up by cops and so on. But he started it as a part of a ghetto project to help people in the project, to help them. I think it started as part of a tenants' rights organization and so on, that he started this small radio station. And then from there, he has simply kept it on the air by sheer guts. And he's been shot at. He's been, you know, they tried to kill him through the window of his, shooting bullets that they say were stray bullets through the, but he cuts into police They have ways of monitoring what the police are saying to each other and so on. So you can imagine what kind of a problem he presents for the law enforcement, the quote law enforcement people in Adrian.
How long ago was this, Tom? Is his station still on the air, do you know?
Oh, yes, he's definitely on the air. Oh, yeah, and he started back in the mid-80s, or maybe the early 80s. So he's been going for a long time, and he's gotten a lot of attention internationally and so on.
What specifically made you decide in 1991 to start a radio station? Had you tried another project and decided that that didn't work, so radio was the best way to proceed? Had you read an article about this man? Had you suddenly ran into him in a supermarket? What happened?
No, I got an offer, actually. I had lived in Venice in 1987. I'd met a number of people who called themselves activists, who were liberals and so on. And in 1990, to sort of help run a cafe, he had sort of lucked into the management of a cafe on the boardwalk.